Good evening. Welcome to the Divided Kingdom evening news program many of you have come to know and trust since 2003. From the eerie twilight of the September 11th, 2001 horrific events and anomalies, like the Building 7's collapse, announced by TV, even before it fell before our eyes, straight through the Saul Alinsky Obama years, with the lawless Fast and Furious, and the financial and medical ruin of Obamacare, up till now. And what is now? Is it anything my co-host, Elizabeth Cupboard-Cavalli, and I could ever have foreseen?
No, Lou, it's beyond comprehension. Apparently, nationwide, Antifa planned looting, rioting, and violence following the tragic, horrific killing of George Floyd by one murderous cop thug, even while National Academy of Sciences and Department of Justice figures show that the number of unarmed black Americans killed by police in 2019 was only 10. This is a very low figure.
In fact, the figures show white perpetrators are slightly more likely to be shot than blacks. What we have is the unmitigated attempt at a coup, an overthrow of America. Fox News man Tucker Carlson says both political parties seem to say people burning down our country are, quote, protesters. Biden supporters in Minneapolis, in fact, donated money to these, quote, protesters.
About 2 years ago, Lou, we reported on a not widely known aspect of American history, the plot to seize the White House. Big Wall Street industrialists were part of a cabal trying to oust Franklin Roosevelt from office. To lead this military coup, they tried to enlist General Smedley Butler, who later voiced the enduring truth slogan, "War is a racket." We received this book back more than 5 years ago now from Art Bernclow, and he was the head of Veterans for Constitutional Law. And you know, we went looking for this book to see the exact date of the plot, and it began in 1933 and continued into 1934. And, you know, with the hot weather here in Maryland and all the depressing confines of COVID-19, everybody locked into what the elite would like us to accept as, quote, the new normal, and with all the other pressures that are on Lou and me, just by life's necessities needed and all of these things, you know, we weren't in a funk, but we were tired. And so I said, Lou, we need to get the exact date of the plot, hunt for the book. He hunted for the book, and he brought it, and then we opened the cover, and there it said, "To my dear friends, Lou and Elizabeth, in the name of justice, we stand united, Arthur N. Bernclow, Executive Director," and that was for Constitutions for Veterans for Constitutional Law. We looked at each other, and we were thrilled, weren't we, Lou?
Yes, we were.
Because we felt this was another voice from heaven. Art has since passed on, and the interesting part was, we've told this on the program before, he was not saved by Jesus Christ for a long time because he felt he had done something unforgivable, and I believe he had had to participate in some things, probably in the Vietnam era, and a number of people were killed, and he felt he could never be forgiven. So he and I had a number of telephone talks about this, and that Jesus Christ would forgive any sin if you had a repentant heart. And I would emphasize to Art that when you die, you want to know that you are saved. You will have eternal life. You will have eternity there with the Lord. So I would talk about this from time to time. And then later in his life, when he had some severe heart problems, some cardiac issues and kidney stones and some other things, I believe, we talked again, and I was ready to just start my little sales pitch. And he said, "I've done it." I said, "You have?" And I said, "I hope it wasn't for me." He says, "No, I did it for me. And when he died, his wife reported in, she said it was a miracle that she had met him when he was 58 years old, and he died when he was 78. And she said he looked just like when I first met him. It was a miracle, just such a handsome, youthful person there in the casket. And we believe that today he was with us because there is the cloud of witnesses. We know that. They're pulling for us here on earth. They do not want to see the tyranny come. And Art Burncloud did a lot for the veterans. He was a true voice. He helped get some benefits to the survivors of veterans, the families left by veterans. There's some benefits that were being held up by Prudential, I think, at one time. He exposed this. And now, also, in this book, The Plot to Seize the White House, and we believe that the late Dr. Stan Monteith carried this book again because the copyright date on this was 2007. Now, this is what was said, listeners, and it couldn't be any more apropos as we have tyranny breathing down our necks like never before here in this constitutional republic. It said, "We have risked our lives in order to bring it to you." That means this book, The Plot to Seize the White House, that Veterans for Constitutional Law had reprinted. And then the foreword continues. 10 days after this book was originally published in 1973, the U.S. government, in parentheses, CIA, pulled it off the national bookshelves and seized every copy of this book they could find. We have checked with many of our affiliates, and we located one copy, which we have carefully duplicated for republication. You see, that was a miracle. And it was a miracle, too, that General Smedley Butler would not go along with this. He resisted. He did not want to lead this takedown of America. And again, his enduring truth slogan, "War is a racket." And so we do remember Art Burncloud with a lot of gratitude and reinvigoration, don't we, Lou?
Yes, we do. Yes, and since General Smedley Butler was a true patriot and a man of integrity and honor, he, of course, refused to become their Goring, and he exposed the plot. We are again nearing a real precipice. Treasonous ex-military leaders actually urging American troops to go against the lawful orders of their commander-in-chief, President Trump. Former Secretary of State James Mattis and Obama-era head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Dempsey, have publicly called for U.S. troops to disobey Trump's orders. This clear-cut mutiny is outright lawlessness, if not criminal treason. Are you awake out there? Do you hear me? Do you understand just how close we are to a takeover by Satan's hellish forces? Anarchy, chaos, murder.
And as you know, Lou, we keep planning to talk about spiritual issues, including the culture of death mindset in population culling. Case in point, the insane nursing home COVID deaths by forcing the sick back into the homes by political order. And the Bronx mass burials of bodies and the way that cremation has insinuated itself into even the churches as a supposedly acceptable way to treat deceased friends and family. We have a listener who, he and his wife sent us a wonderful booklet, which we will go through in some depth about the issue of cremation in the future. When this thing is truly a desecration, an abomination to God, yet once more, we have to postpone a complete discussion of it. Why? Well, because if we and many others in more prominent news positions than we have don't warn all America to wake up, we will have no republic, and certainly the resulting iron fist of Marxism and Antifa, and we call it Antifa because it really is like anti-fascism, even though it is fascism. So we don't like to give it a glorious sounding name like Antifa, as if it's something nice. No, Antifa will end all freedom. And Tuesday, June 9th, Tucker Carlson, the Fox newsman, revealed that the night before, Monday, June 8th, a failed attempt to remove his news program from Fox permanently occurred. That was the night, listeners, he exposed the seeming apathy and complicity in both political parties, naming some names, in this move toward the American coup or takedown. The answer is in you and Lou and me and all Americans, because without furious pushback from great masses of outraged Americans, the conservative and Christian voices, even now being marginalized and sometimes taken off Twitter, Google, Facebook, will be totally silenced.
And pervasive as the chokehold, and I'm using that term deliberately, as pervasive as the smartphone social media chokehold is in the hearts and minds of young Americans, in particular, social reality, not social media, will be hell on earth. Our daily lives will be a nightmare of terror and control if the satanic plan of anarchy and chaos is allowed by apathetic or sold-out NWO congressmen to come in more and more.
You're speaking, Lou, of the so-called idiot plan. Really not idiot at all, but smart as a diabolical fox, to defund the police, aren't you, Lou?
Yes. Hear what the Colorado Springs Gazette editorial for June 10th said. Entitled, "We Will Abolish the Police at Our Peril." Before we defund or abolish the police, let's consider George Floyd. After bad cop Derek Chauvin slowly choked Floyd to death, other cops hauled Chauvin to jail the moment charges were filed. They would later arrest three other cops who stood by and allowed the killing. When peaceful demonstrators gather in the streets to protest the killing, police officers uphold their First Amendment rights to do so. After the Supreme Court forbade school segregation, police officers enforced the ruling. When the 15th Amendment ensured black people the right to vote, police enforced the ruling. When three men plotted last year to bomb Somali immigrants in Garden City, Kansas, law enforcers arrested them and prevented the violence. When a Colorado man plotted to blow up Pueblo's Temple Emmanuel Synagogue, federal and local law enforcement found out and prevented the crime. We can talk rapes, murders, domestic abuse, and armed robberies. A comprehensive list of police officers preventing crimes and hauling criminals to justice would fill library shelves. Our way of life depends on law enforcement upholding everything from civil rights laws to property rights, to our right to criticize politicians. Even our right to worship depends on the professional men and women of law enforcement enforcing law. Given our dependence on law enforcement, the new, quote, defund the police, unquote, and abolish the police movements, reactions to Floyd's apparent murder, might be the worst ideas to emerge in anyone's lifetime. This is not an agenda limited to activists in the fringe. U.S. Representative Rashida Tlaib, Democrat of Michigan, openly advocates defunding police in tweets. New York State Senator Julia Salazar, a, quote, Democratic socialist, unquote, told The Guardian it is, quote, really very encouraging, unquote, how many politicians, even those who aren't even necessarily on the left, support significant defunding of law enforcement. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti wants to slash the city's police budget. Newsweek reports on a growing list of celebrities pledging their support for defunding police, including John Legend, Megan Rapinoe, Lizzo, Jane Fonda, Natalie Portman, Jamila Jamil, Yara Shahidi, and more. A Minneapolis-based organization called MPD 150 wants to abolish law enforcement officers and replace them with social workers, religious leaders, neighbors and friends, and others who make up the fabric of a community. Explains MPD150.com, quote, cops don't prevent crimes, they cause it, through the ongoing violent disruption of our communities, unquote. The group insists we won't have violent criminals to contend with if we abolish every cop. Like all professions, ministry, coaching, teaching, and more, law enforcement attracts a fraction of bad actors. Most people, including law enforcement professionals, are outraged, sickened, and horrified by Floyd's killing. Justice must be served against everyone responsible. We don't serve that justice by gutting law enforcement agencies that had nothing to do with this atrocity. If we do so, we will only see more lawlessness. We'll have fewer resources to enforce the laws intended to keep this country safe from crimes, including the one that killed Floyd. Now, let me find where I have my next item here. More than just so-called defending police, such a takedown and sellout, I must also question even more some additional subtler facts about the heart of the political establishment, the one that claims to care about our welfare. Consider these details from Tucker Carlson's June 1st Fox News broadcast. Fairfax County, Virginia, Democrats mantra that riots are part of our country's progress.
And we must interject. What date was that, the Tucker Carlson broadcast?
June the 1st.
This is about a week before the failed coup at Fox, where they wanted to take him off forever. All right?
That's important
information. And if you value this program, we do hope you will pray about sharing it with your pastors, with your family and friends. Please go visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Tell people to go to WWCR.com. That's the shortwave station that goes all around the world with Christian hope and Christian truth. And you can hear us on their shortwave, 4.840 megahertz, Thursday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, repeating on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m., on 7.490 megahertz. Also, you can hear them on the internet at WWCR.com. You can also go to KStarTalkRadio.com. Hear us at KStarTalkRadio.com Saturdays at 5 p.m., Sundays at 10 a.m. You can hear us at Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net. You can hear us there Mondays at 5 p.m., repeating at 11 p.m. Go ahead, Lou.
Here we have some other details.
Let's hear that first detail again about Fairfax County.
Yes, Fairfax County.
You are questioning the sincerity and the patriotism of some of these things.
Definitely. Well, Fairfax County, Virginia Democrats had a mantra that riots are part of our country's progress. Vice President Pence scolded the U.S. for its racism. The Heritage Foundation denounced America as racist. And here we have to add a couple of pertinent footnotes. Number one, Dr. Stanley Monteith of Radio Liberty said before his death that he had found almost every so-called conservative organization in America had been sold out. And number two, the former head of the Heritage Foundation, Edwin Fulner, his name was on the official guest list attending Bohemian Grove, the place where rulers of the world worship Moloch, and there are allegations of human sacrifice that linger on. Some other items. Former U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley said during the weeks of the looting and burning in the Blue Cities, quote, in order to heal, it needs to be painful for everyone, unquote. Was she thinking of retired police martyr David Dorn, who was killed by a protester thug even as he was loyally trying to keep a friend's business safe while he was off duty? Next bullet point, anomaly, should also raise eyebrows. The Trump administration National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien talked about, quote, peaceful protesters. And Tucker Carlson's discussion of Jared Kushner's attempt for flyover country people, the people like you and me, listeners, who voted for Trump. Carlson lamented Kushner's statement, quote, the trailer parks were solidly for Trump, unquote, and the fact that Kushner led the effort to release criminals. And Elizabeth, I think you have something from
yes.
Judge Will. Is that right?
Well, I do. And I think this is all apropos. And the so-called power elite, and they're sometimes called the elite power brokers, they've looked down on flyover country for a long while, decades, before Henry Kissinger pronounced the run-of-the-mill Americans only fit to be dumb farm animals, fodder for the Vietnam War and the Iraq and Afghanistan quagmires to come. Council of Foreign Relations member, columnist George F. Will, June the 7th, describes the, quote, sprawling jumble of tents and shanties on the Anacostia River, south of Washington, D.C., July 28, 1932. President Hoover ordered the Army to disperse this group of desperate World War I veterans. Remember today as the bonus army, numbered about 20,000. After the House passed the bill for aid to the vets, the Senate rejected it. Then New York Governor Franklin Roosevelt offered to pay for train tickets home for New York marchers. MacArthur ordered tanks brought from Maryland's Aberdeen Proving Ground and had alerted mounted cavalry under the command of Colonel George Patton. MacArthur, in full dress uniform, displaying every ribbon and medal, and the cavalry came down Pennsylvania Avenue, Will says, with drawn sabers, the infantry threw tear gas grenades. D.C. police pitched in, and the mission was accomplished. Will then goes on to full propaganda mode, equating the treatment of the hapless bonus army to the present-day D.C. protester rioter events. Will says, number one, is it really, this is his quote, sometimes it does seem that history is not one damn thing after another. It is the same damn thing over and over. Monday's military and police engagements in downtown Washington were in the service of the president's promise to, quote, dominate protesters. It is perhaps a mistake to be angry at Esper or Milley, or for that matter at the officers who ordered military helicopters to hover menacingly at rooftop level to intimidate protesters exercising a First Amendment right in proximity to monuments commemorating those who founded and preserved the Republic. The military officers involved, like their civilian leaders, have all been promoted to the level of their incompetence. Is it really the same? First of all, George F. Will does not fully reveal why the desperate World War I veterans of the Bonus Army were so demoralized and angry. Frederick Lewis Allen's 1986 book, Only Yesterday and Since Yesterday, A Popular History of the 20s and 30s, tells us two important things. Number one, Eisenhower at least expressed some concern whether attacking the Bonus Army was the right thing to do. But we're saying this, June 6, 1944, by that time, perhaps Ike had learned just how valiant and necessary the common man in America was as he watched his soldiers plunge into the channel on D-Day. And now we have to also look at this again. We have to think about what the other point was that George F. Will fail to tell us. One that Frederick Lewis Allen's book did tell is that one reason these poverty-stricken World War I vets were so upset was that the earlier 1924 law that had passed would not give them the money until 1945. The Kissinger dumb farm animal mantra can't be blamed just on Kissinger. No, the elite for a long, long time has had ugly condescension toward flyover, expendable people. It began much earlier than the Vietnam Wars. The ragtag bonus army wanted this money now, not in 13 years from now. And so it is simply atrocious for self-proclaimed agnostic columnist George F. Will to equate what was Tiananmen Square-type tyranny prefigured in the Bonus Army action with the U.S. military attack on the Bonus Army with what happened in D.C. last week, June of 2020, due to Antifa and other anarchist thugs and criminals. Breaking the Secret Service barricades that protect our American White House and President, injuring at first count 50 valiant Secret Service members, latest count 100 injured. Only a mind controlled by the radical leftist faction could equate the victims of the Bonus Army, ordinary Americans seeking justice, with the organized mobs that nationwide were put together with diabolical planning and with these diabolical ideas to burn down hundreds of businesses. And let's get what George F. Will says about Christians very shortly, too, some Christian people who are in the military. So you see now there was this looting and killing of good police, and it resulted in people like 77-year-old, 38-year-old police veteran David Dorn, as Lou mentioned, in St. Louis, who was trying to protect his friend's building, being killed. Even the bricks used were brought in pre-confrontation, pre-planned, all over the U.S. The demonizing of the good police, the good people in flyover country, is not going to be enough if and when more evil leaders usurp control. You Christian listeners know that persecution always waits just around the dark corner. Look at how differently churches were treated compared to other businesses during the corona lockdown by the governors of Kentucky and New Jersey. And again, in this George F. Will column entitled "An Inglorious Military Moment," the lying words of George F. Will, perhaps indirectly defending the treasonous calls of former General James Mattis and General Dempsey for present U.S. soldiers to disobey their commander-in-chief, should make any Christian American's hair stand on end. Remember, Will represents the attitude of the elite, the attitude of the secret societies and the Council on Foreign Relations. And now, here's the first part of George F. Will's article. And this, again, was Sunday, June 7, 2020, Washington, an inglorious military moment. A small fraction of a large number can be a significant number. So although the fact that there are a significant number of ninnies among the 329 million people in this country is embarrassing, it is not surprising. What is puzzling is that specimens such as Defense Secretary Mark Esper and General Mark A. Milley, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, have reached positions of considerable responsibility in today's government. It might be a fact of today's political physics that these two have floated upward because they are lighter than air. That, however, is an insufficient explanation of their eminence. Neither is it satisfactory to merely note that such people can be expected to be found in high offices when the dispenser of offices, civilian and military, probably would explicitly reject basic civic norms if he knew they existed. Do you hear the condescension? Lou, you're a dummy. I'm a dummy.
I guess so.
But I have my AB from Juniata College, and I graduated taking a seven-hour test, written test, and I achieved distinction in French. And I know that you have not bragged, but you were at the very top of your class everywhere. Weren't you at the top in college also?
Yes, that's true.
Yes, but we don't go around bragging. Life is so much more than this empty-hearted, kind of a contemptuous looking down on people. We are all going to go back to the earth in dust. It doesn't matter who you are, how high you are. We have a finite time, And I like to think of Art Burncloud looking down in you and me today. You know, listeners know that your first name is Jim, and you said to me I could always remember. He liked to call us on Saturday mornings and tell the listeners what you would hear first.
He would always say, "Hello, Jim."
Yes, and it was he had a very bass voice. Make it a little more bass, like he was.
Yes, he would always say, "Hello, Jim."
Yes, yes. And, you know, at times we thought, well, he calls us so often every Saturday, but then we began to rely on it. He became like family to us, so that we were very shocked. We did not know he had passed away till we heard Pastor Butch on Call to Decision one night tell us, and then I called his wife. No, there's so much more to life. Life is so rich. When we love each other and we appreciate each other as creations of the Lord, and each one of us has unique qualities. It's sad for George F. Will. Put him in your prayers because he has one very good thing, and that is that he loved his son with Down syndrome, and he defended Down syndrome babies and children. Why is this man an agnostic? Pray for his salvation, that the heart can be remedied so that the pride, the vanity, the arrogance of intellect, it can't usurp the power of God Almighty. What is John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, there is an equality, and we are fighting to keep this country Christian in its outlook, and many, many things that are part of its culture have come from the best of Christianity. So now, back to him lambasting these leaders, that they were lighter than air. General Mark A. Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Defense Secretary Mark Esper, he says, "They will not exist for long if the nation does not recoil against an administration that includes a defense secretary who refers to this republic as a battle space." What better moniker could he pick, Lou, right now?
It sure seems like it is one.
It is.
All these riots going on.
It's truth. It's truth. And Will says, and also includes a four-star Army general who reports to the Oval Office in combat fatigues, dressed appropriately for an evening of police and military engagements that involved clearing a public park of peaceful demonstrators and intimidating protesters elsewhere. The purpose of the clearing, achieved with flashbang grenades and chemicals, was to enable the Bible-brandishing commander-in-chief to stand in front of a church for the purpose of stroking the portion of his political base that is composed of evangelical Christians who relish rendering their souls under this particular Caesar, unfurl the mission accomplished banner. I hope that you noted this, listeners. This, we're not too far from persecution. We can't be when we hear this all the time from the government. On Tuesday, Esper's evolving explanation was that he did not know details about the event his commander was conscripting him into. Monday night's battle of Lafayette Square, which took place in a traditional venue of protests and operations elsewhere in Washington, were inglorious engagements for the U.S. military comparable to events of July 28, 1932. There's the lie. And that's the title of his column, An Inglorious Military Moment. And they, supposedly inglorious engagement was equivalent to Patton and MacArthur and putting on all their medals and coming to fire upon the poor World War I American veterans. I don't think there were any poor veterans there being fired on, do you, Lou?
No, not at all. Now, do I think that in the case of the Bonus Army, there was any threat to the president, President Hoover?
No.
Whereas
and
this time, there was a direct threat.
And, you know, I'm not sure where I was going to insert this before, but I think it's time now to go to see what our Attorney General Barr said. And this was in a Fox News interview with Brett Baer. And it's very recent. I think it was July 9th, possibly. And So now, we're going to hear about what really happened. Speaking exclusively to Fox News' Brett Baer on Monday outside the Department of Justice, Attorney General Bill Barr confirmed that, quote, focused investigations are underway that relate to Antifa, the far-left group that President Trump has sought to designate as a terrorist organization. Also, in the wide-ranging interview, Barr harshly criticized efforts to defund police departments, argued that some jurisdictions had gone too far in their coronavirus lockdown restrictions, and defended the U.S. Park Police's decision to clear Lafayette Park ahead of a visit by the president, a move that came, Barr told Baer, after the attorney general himself was targeted with rocks and other projectiles. Now, Lou, did we read that any members of the Bonus Army threw rocks or bricks at MacArthur and Patton?
No.
I don't think so. Determining who is behind the protest has become a top priority for the DOJ, that's the Department of Justice, and a political football in the meantime. So now we also note that in this interview, Attorney General Barr said about the thugs, the Antifa-type thugs, there appear to be sources of funding, and we are looking into the sources of funding. And you know there is clearly some high degree of organization involved at some of these events and coordinated tactics that we're seeing, and we're looking into that as well. And some of it relates to an Antifa. Some of it relates to groups that act very much like Antifa. As I said, there's a witch's brew of extremist groups that are trying to exploit this situation on all sides. We now move in to a little description. And again, think about the Bonus Army, how George F. Will has equated it to what he calls an inglorious military moment. You see, he's saying there was no provocation. Oh, my. Help me, Lou.
Provocation.
We're fired up here. We're, and I'm sure we're under all kinds of attack. Remember the time at my father's funeral time? And his high school classmate was up by my father's coffin, and he was crippled, and he had a cane, and he was weeping and weeping, and he said he was so smart, he knew so many things before the rest of us. And I was comforting him, and I said, well, you know that my father is now in heaven. And we heard this little voice come out of a child. It was from a family. We feared there was some satanic influence on the family. And out of the child came this raspy, gravelly, horrible voice. Now she's talking about heaven. And you were an eyewitness. You heard it, didn't you?
I heard that exactly, and just about the very tone you're singing in, too.
Yes. So you see, there's a war on Lou and me. There's a war on us because Satan wants the culture of death to overwhelm our beloved republic. He wants it to fall. He wants these treasonous people in Congress who are blackmailed, a lot of them, for their pedophilia and heaven only knows what else. He wants, Satan wants the end. He wants Marxism. He wants what Obama and Hillary couldn't accomplish because of the deplorables. That's you. That's me. That's Lou. That's you listeners. We need your prayers. Your prayers affect miracles. We have heard from a listener who was healed by God Almighty last year in a very short time with, guess what, a broken hip. Have you ever heard of such a thing? No, you haven't. And she's very close to the Lord's heart. She made a beautiful painting that Lou and I have displayed in our front hall, and it is the Narrow Way. You can see these beautiful trees. It's a wonderful landscaped painting. She's a very talented painter. And these beautiful trees, there's just a ray of light coming down there with this narrow path wending up toward heaven. Yes, you see, heaven is involved in this fight. So now Attorney General Barr said he talked about protests near the White House, Barr observed, had become so violent that the Secret Service moved Trump to the bunker underneath the White House. The mayhem, which also included the burning of St. John's Church and the harassment and assault of a Fox News reporter, necessitated action, Barr said. Even though some media organizations have said Lafayette Park was cleared solely for Trump's photo op near the church. Does this sound like an inglorious military moment to you listeners? as George Will called it. I would call it survival, a protection of our president. And going on, Barr said, the image has somewhat been miscreated in the sense that I haven't seen any videos on TV of all the violence that was happening preceding that. I personally saw projectiles thrown, and two were thrown at me and the police officers there, and my security detail made me move back because they said that projectiles had been landing in a certain area. Things like rocks, bottles were thrown at me. Now, there we have the eyewitness report of the Attorney General of the United States. Barr reiterated that the move to clear the park and move the White House perimeter out one block was the right one. As I've said, the President of the United States should be able to walk one block from the White House out to the Church of Presidents. He should be able to do that. And you know this canard, that this exercise was done to make that possible, is totally false. I don't see anything wrong with the President walking over to the church. And we move on, right on from this, that again, we have some things that we've got to discuss here. I think we have some, yes, the TV coverage of the riots and the destruction in New York City showed this very thing. You see, what Barr was talking about, this was nationwide. Thugs and criminals arrested one night, and then they were put back on the streets the next night, again wreaking havoc and destruction because of the new bail laws that set them free. Political leaders who want to end the republic and bring in global government won't stop until we are like Britain. No guns for defense, not even for police.
And that brings us to the absurdity of wanting to legitimize, quote, defunding the police, unquote. The Hoover Institution's wise and seasoned political observer, Victor Davis Hanson, said, quote, I've never seen such contextualizing justifying this chaos, unquote. More bullet points that smell like the rottenness of revolution being fomented on unsuspecting Americans. Former police chief of Austin and longtime nemesis of Alex Jones, Art Acevedo, now in Houston, cried out, quote, my people, the immigrants, have built this country, unquote. Gee, listeners, maybe that was the rebuttal to former President Obama's widely publicized condescending put-down to you, me, and all of us Americans, that we didn't build anything. Someone built it for us. Now we know the truth. From Art Acevedo, the immigrants. I suppose that means both legal and illegal. Who came into the U.S.? They built everything. Everything we hold dear. Life, liberty, rule of law, Christian values, and culture. Wow, I'm so thankful I didn't need to work for 37 years teaching students about advanced math for college prep and basic math for future American industry. It was just done for me. And everything was done for all of you out there, right? Now, let me see.
You have some more bullet points?
Oh, yes,
I
do.
That are pretty odd, I think.
You've got that right. Here we go. More bullet points, Elizabeth. Showing intent to destroy respect for our law, our lawful president, and to vitiate our beloved republic.
And again, if you care, you can do something. You can pray for our country, for Lou and me with this program. You can send people to DividedKingdomRadio.com. DividedKingdomRadio.com. Visit our archives, and you can listen to the archives. We've had some various types of obstruction lately, so we know that means we're hitting a nerve. Go ahead, Lou. What's the next bullet point?
Next one. A quote, Donald Trump has turned this country into a battlefield. That was a quote from Joe Biden, quoted in Time magazine, June 15th issue of 2020.
My, isn't he powerful? One man who had to be put down in the bunker to protect him, he has caused all this violence. Why, what it must have taken for him to plan to move all those bricks everywhere, all over the country, to all the blue cities. My goodness, he's been busy.
That's right.
Busier than Santa Claus, you know, flying all over the world at Christmas, dropping down everyone's chimneys. Go ahead, Lou.
And this, This quote was even after 50 Secret Service men were injured. The barricades to the Secret Service were breached, and President Trump, Bible in hand, walked into the anarchist inferno.
We know now it's 100 who were injured.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
The report has been updated.
So the president walked across the street to the longtime church to the president, St. John's, that had been under arson attack. Another headline from Natural News, Tuesday, June 9th. An old man who was shoved, this is in quotes, shoved by police, unquote, was actually a left-wing agitator, skimming police radio frequencies to run enforcement and warfare tactics against the law enforcement. Another one, Planned Parenthood, which kills more black people than any other group, absurdly claims it is grieving over violence against black lives. The liberties want to defund police for inner cities as they hide behind their gated mansion estates. There are more bullet point concerns, aren't there, Elizabeth?
Yes, there are. We had three rioters in Gwinnett County, Georgia, arrested for stalking police officers and attempting to set their patrol cars on fire. Alan West blasts Facebook, Twitter, for aiding and abetting Antifa terrorists while censoring everyday Americans for protesting lockdowns. Three Antifa rioters in Austin, Texas, were charged with looting a Target store. Looting has turned parts of Chicago's South Side into a food desert. Residents unsure where to get a healthy meal. Students at the University of Washington are demanding that black students be given leniency on finals because they are too busy fighting for rights to sit down and study. The university is advising professors to do that. And before I turn it over to you, Lou, there are two more. Nancy Pelosi and the Dems kneeling there in subservience to Black Lives Matter. We know this is like a religious ritual of the left, the Marxist, the tyranny being instituted. And New Orleans Saints, the New Orleans Saints quarterback, Drew Brees, apologizing four times for his initial refusal to kneel during the playing of the national anthem. Are you men out there going to stand up for your families? Are you going to tell others about our program? Or are you going to just sit and wait for the Gestapo to come to your door? Students that were demanding this, that the black students be given the leniency, and the university, you see, capitulated. Are we going to capitulate? Are we just going to say, I can just do just that?
Well, here are some more headlines. These are also from Natural News. FBI pledge allegiance to Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Nations of Islam, and new Black Panther protesters. In latest virtue signaling insanity, Lego pulls out of promos for toy sets that include police officers and the White House. From Fox News, Attorney General Barr, in a Fox News interview with Brett Baer Monday, June 8th, confirms focused investigation of Antifa, as well as the dangerous push to defund police. From WorldNet Daily, June 8th, Sheriff David Clark says, you'd have to loathe black people to defund the police. And we hit a little more on William Barr, but in the interest of time, do you think we should skip that, Elizabeth?
Yes, I think now, is that pretty much what you had in those bullet points?
I just had a couple of things from June 10th, Natural News.
Okay.
Finally, Justice Department to probe Antifa involvement in riots. Some article highlights, vehicles, drop-off, looters, unload power tools and suitcases, then they drive away. Cars come back later for a pickup. New York Police Department Commissioner Dermot Shea noted piles and caches of rubble, bricks, found in Brooklyn and Queens. The bricks are pre-stage, said Shea. An eyewitness in New York City's Chelsea neighborhood, Carla Murphy, saw New Jersey and Pennsylvania plates on those cars.
Pardon me.
Certainly. And Black Lives Matter takes over Seattle city blocks, deploys armed militants, on the streets. That is our militant thugs.
All right, this gives us the good insight into that. We've got to very shortly get into that FBI article, that expose. Fox host Laura Ingraham interviewed Terry Turchie, and this was Friday, June the 5th. Turchie discussed the Weathermen Underground's major goal. It was to foment revolution, and they had a 180-page document called Prairie Fire. And this legacy continued as Black Panthers in Oakland were ambushing police. Turchie commented on the right-up-to-the-minute goals of the Democratic leadership. Some of them include, number one, destroy capitalism. Number two, promote the false idea there is systemic racism in America. Remember, only 10 black men were killed last year, unarmed black men by police. Number three, the goal was identify and create a false victim class. Four, promote international solidarity. And this anarchy you see is worldwide. This is a takedown because we can prove this with Winston Churchill's statue being desecrated. And then a man who tried to clean up from the vandals, they arrested him, not the desecrators. Turchie commented that this insidious prairie fire, and remember this was a 180-page document, that it is still part of the Antifa Black Lives plan. Laura Ingraham said, I find that disturbing. Now, let's move right into this very important article from the FBI on the FBI.
Yes, it's entitled FBI Pledge Allegiance to Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Nation of Islam, and Black Panthers, New Black Panthers Protesters, Monday, June 8th, 2020, from Natural News. In a display of public unity with, quote, the movement, unquote, writ large, FBI officials took a knee to declare their woke allegiance with the protesting mobs. With that visible display, we now have a better understanding of the motives behind a history of FBI failures. And the remaining part of this is from theconservativetreehouse.com. Setting aside the optic that some members of the FBI, looking more like Meal Team 6, there was always a suspicion that the FBI were more concerned about political correctness than actually doing the work of a federal investigative agency. Historically, the FBI has failed miserably to stop domestic terror threats, and when the investigative failures are researched, there's usually a prior connection between the attackers and the FBI. The father of Orlando Pulse nightclub terrorist Omar Mateen was a guy named Sadiq Mateen. You might remember seeing him at the Hillary Clinton rally. After Omar killed 49 people, it was discovered that Sadiq had been an FBI informant for over 11 years, from 2005 to 2016. In a similar way, after the Parkland school shooting, it was discovered the FBI was fully aware of Nicholas Cruz. Yet again, they had taken no action. The exact same scenario had played out several years earlier, when the FBI was warned about the Tsarnaev brothers before the Boston Marathon bombing in 2013, and yet they did nothing to stop it. The FBI is now a political agency with police powers within the federal government. The activity of Lisa Page, Peter Strzok, James Comey, Andrew McCabe, and a host of very familiar names has shown just how important politics is within the institution. Indeed, as we saw in the ridiculous Hillary Clinton investigation, politics was a prism for every decision, and protecting their ideological tribe was the biggest concern within the agency. Understanding the sensitivity behind the FBI to the Muslim community, a sensitivity almost identical to the expressed position of the Democratic Party apparatus, it should not come as a big surprise to see FBI agents ignoring terror threats and simultaneously taking a knee to show their allegiance with Black Lives Matter. After all, Black Lives Matter, BLM, is an assembly of political grievances or grievance activists that includes the Nation of Islam, that's Farrakhan, and the new Black Panther Party, NBPP. The overall network is currently working in coordination with the ultra-violent Antifa. When the FBI takes a knee to support BLM, they are openly aligning with Antifa and the violent advocacy it carries, and not being subtle about sticking a finger in the eye of the U.S. Attorney General, Bill Barr. Once we accept the FBI is a weaponized political agency, it makes sense they would only target people adverse to their political agenda, and more harshly target anyone whom they would view as a political opponent. For example, Roger Stone. Somehow the FBI found the motivation and resources to send more heavily armed agents to arrest 68-year-old Roger Stone than ever stepped foot in Benghazi, Libya. This also explains why the FBI refused to deal with FBI Chief Legal Counsel Dana Boindy when his corrupt activity was discovered within an attempt to overthrow President Trump. Severe politicization also reconciles how Robert Mueller and Andrew Weissman were able to instruct over 50 FBI agents to investigate a transparently non-existent Russian collusion conspiracy for over 2 years as part of a strategy to help Democrats win the 2018 election. One example within the FBI operation in 2018 was the fraudulent nonsense behind Cesar Sayoc. You might remember, FBI Director Christopher Wray outlined during his remarks the mysterious devices consisted of PVC pipe, clocks, batteries, wiring, and, quote, energetic material that can become combustible when subjected to heat or friction, unquote. Indeed, in hindsight, things make a lot more sense when we see the FBI take a knee to express their politics publicly. And we have 2 years of FBI Director Christopher Wray explaining how the FBI is an earnest group of employees who just need a little more, quote, bias training, unquote, to ensure their bias did not surface in their investigations. Understanding the political prism through which all decisions are made in the FBI also helps reconcile the FBI Director Christopher Wray would choose David Bowditch as his deputy director. David Bowditch was the FBI official in charge of the 2015 San Bernardino terrorist attack carried out by Syed Farouk and Tashfeen Malik. 14 people were killed and 22 others were seriously injured. Everything behind the attack was sketchy, and there was clearly a green card scam being run as part of the background operation. Yes, Ellis. Once you accept that everything the FBI does is based on their politics, then everything starts to make a lot more sense, including how those suspects were able to carry out their operations while under surveillance.
Is that the end?
That's the end, yeah.
Very important eye-opener.
Yes.
Are you getting the picture that if we stay asleep, the masses will be herded into the gulag? So do tell others about DividedKingdomRadio.com. Pray for Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, Brett Baer. Pray for Fox. The network is one of the few truth-telling organizations left in the mainstream. But God Almighty will not be mocked. The wise man follows him. Good night.